You're listening to In the Drink, hosted by me, Joe Campanelli. Normally, I'd say when I'm not hosting In the Drink, you can find me at Fausto or Lalu, one of my restaurants in Brooklyn, New York. But if you've been listening to this season of In the Drink, you know that my restaurants are closed, and you know that we've been bringing you some special episodes about how the COVID-19 pandemic has affected the wine industry as a whole. For today's episode, we have on a friend of mine, Giuseppe Vira. Giuseppe's family owns the Vira Winery in Piedmont, in Barolo, and they're some of my absolute favorite wines. One of the things I loved about this conversation is that I found it to be pretty hopeful, even though Giuseppe talks about a lot of the challenges that he's facing. And that's just like Giuseppe. Even during a challenging time, this guy will always have a smile on his face. And it's one of the things I really appreciate about him. I really would love to understand what your day was like before. I know you're part of a family business, and you're one of many family members who all contribute to this business. But what would you be doing on an average week before this has been happening? And then what would an average day or week be like for you now after the pandemic? Have you adapted to this?
It's a real difference, because before COVID, there was not such a thing as an average day or week, right? Every day, every week would be so different. And in fact, after COVID started, and the very date was March the 8th, when we were sort of put in a lockdown here in Italy, things started to be shaped into sort of a more of a routine. But it's still farming life. And that means I wake up usually between 5:30, 6 a.m. I'm trying to sleep a little longer on Saturdays and, you know, just have breakfast with the family. But then every morning I drive to the winery. And then the routine really varies. But on average, around 7:30 a.m., we're gearing up the day with the vineyard team. That's my brother, Izzy, taking the lead on that. And then a few minutes later, we have a sort of debrief with the cellar team. Most of the works have been planned the day before, or, you know, the week before. But you still want to catch up with the team, especially in these very unique days. And that's a start, right? And then usually you give yourself the first couple of hours to go around vineyards or cellar. Our tastings, we like them to be at 10 a.m. I'm talking barrel tastings, and we like that hour because you're sort of getting hungry, so your senses are all bright open. And then is a bit more of staying at the winery in the afternoon. That was my life before COVID. And I still managed to be late for dinner. But luckily, Sophie and the kids are very patient. And then you put together some more hours of work after evening. It's still busy. It's still a bit sleep deprived of sleeping. But it definitely got shaped into being here more than before. I would be working a lot here, but then also there was a lot of traveling. And of course, all of that has been put aside for the time being.
Now, are there some benefits to you being there more than traveling? And I imagine this would have been a normal, like, sort of big sales time of the year, since it's a little bit more quiet in the vineyards.
Yes, in fact, there is many beautiful things that I've been enjoying. And if I may start with a very specific memory, it was the night when the lockdown was announced here in Italy, right? And I was about to close the winery. And so it's quite a tour. You go check all the windows and doors and all the tanks and all the taps and everything. And I found myself on pretty much the roof of the winery. And it was one of those nights with that super moon. That's how it's called, right? So very, very big, very close-looking moon rising from east, just over Brico delle Viole. And I couldn't recall the last time I stopped just staring at the moon. And then it was sort of the beginning of springtime, and the air was very fresh. And turn around myself, on the other side is sunset, and a beautiful sunset. And I was like, oh my God, when is the last time I noticed all of these? I took the time to savor it. And then driving home, I was like realizing how fortunate that I could be home on the very day of lockdown. I could have been around the world. I could have been thousands of miles away. That is, I'm apologize to you and everyone who's listening. I know it might sound so naive and simple, but that to me was a great moment because it puts everything in a bit of a different light. And days later, we were recording a short video for the family, the sort of extended families, the uncles and cousins. The virus are quite a broad one. And you don't get to talk to everyone every day. So we wanted to sort of send a message out, some happiness from the kids and encouraging everyone. And being that the kids have very little patience, we had to sort of decide on a script. And okay, so Lucia had lost her teeth and Aldo learned how to ride his bike. And then all in a sudden, out of the blue, Aldo comes out with this and says, I'm actually happy because Aldo is my second, our boy. I'm actually happy because mom and dad are at home more often, right? And that was mind-blowing to me, how the simplicity of a five-year-old kid would put a whole different light on this situation. So going back to your question, yes, there is a lot of positive from this moment. I do think you need a simple heart. You need to be as simple as a kid to enjoy that, because otherwise it would be so many times I hear people, oh, we should have been a Provine. Oh, we should have been in Italy, right? I should have been on this trip. I should have done that event. If you look like that, this is a whole terrible loss. But if you look at what we actually can enjoy right now, it's quite a special moment.
That's a beautiful sentiment. And I wonder maybe if you can talk about some of the challenges work-wise. If there's lockdown, are you able to get all of your vineyard workers to come to work? I know that nature doesn't really stop for a pandemic.
So there's many aspects about what's going on from now on, because we're really at the stage where the vines have started to grow very, very fast. We had some rain in the past couple of days, and that really triggered an amazing energy through the vines. You can really see them grown when you go back day after day. And definitely that triggers the question on how are we going to cope with this situation. So with regard to the vineyards, the situation is that we don't work with seasonal workers. We do work with our own team and then with the cooperative, which is a group of people that live here throughout the year, right? So pretty much the team is in place, and therefore there is not big of a concern. But also what we've decided with our team was to offer everyone who currently doesn't have work in different capacities to join the vineyard team. And we have, you know, some people that don't get to be as close as to the vines as we are. And we thought, okay, listen, it's a challenge on the one hand, but on the other hand, this is an amazing opportunity for everyone to go back to the roots of our work. And what I love is that the team has been just amazing. To start, everyone was actually happy to go to be with the vineyard team. And but it was beyond the availability of it. It was about the passion of it. And that was mind-blowing to me to see. Sure, it is true that the whole region is going to go for a shortage of workers. I was just reading articles of how, for example, UK have created charter flights because now their green gardens are about to be ready to be cropped, and there's really a shortage all around. But I think we always tried to think of Vaira as a place where we don't go for the easiest route, but we try to create something a bit more sustainable. So having, yes, I would say the difference is if you have seasonal workers and if you depend a lot on seasonal workers or not. The other challenge is about safety measures, right? How to keep everyone healthy. And that is actually more of a trouble for the cellar team. Because with the vineyard team, you just ask everyone to go with their own car straight to the vineyard, keep the social distances, which happens to be quite easy as you work one person, one row. In the cellar is actually more complicated, especially when it comes to bottling or it comes to labeling. These are works where you are, I mean, at least a winery like ours, we don't have huge machines, so you kind of work side by side, one to another. So what we've created was a bit of a turnover, and clearly implementing all of the things we're all doing, right? So masks, gloves. It is a big responsibility. We implemented an insurance for the cellar team so that we're just praying they don't need to use it, but we've done pretty much all what we could. But on the other hand, we also felt that just stopping down was not the best, neither for the wine and nor for the people. And so we decided to go slow, but keep on going.
I wonder, maybe this is a question that's a little silly or premature, but I wonder if in a few years when you're drinking the 2020 vintage, how you might think back upon this, upon the vintage. If you think maybe there'll be any effect in the wine itself. It's probably so early that we haven't had fruit set yet, but when we're drinking the coronavirus vintage in 2025, what do you think you'll be thinking about it?
My God. Sometimes, you know, I think I feel lucky because when I wake up in the morning, I feel we have a positive hope. We wake up in the morning feeling there is something good for us out there. And on the other hand, I also have to admit, no one who knows how this is going to end, right? So it's a mixed feelings. But overall, I wish that in 5 years down the road, I'll look back and look at this vintage as, I'm going to tell you a dream more than what I know. But the dream is that I'll turn back and we will all turn back to 2020, right? We're going to drink 2020 vintages and thinking that perhaps there was such a hard time, but perhaps there was a time that made us collectively rethink of humanity and rethink of what is really worth and rethinking of how we intend to live and how we intend to contribute to society. And a hard moment that generated a step forward. I don't know how it's going to be, but I wish we will look back to this time as a time of suffering, but a time that taught us something.
And what do you think those lasting lessons will be? What do you think the effects will be on the industry going forward?
I think there's going to be first a moment of suffering. I was in a chat with some people, friends, yesterday, and we were discussing how coronavirus is the most dreadful, scary trigger of a situation that perhaps was, you know, was over our heads for a while. And I'm afraid that on the short run is going to be not easy. A producer from Champagne was giving me some numbers and of their region, and it's rough. But I think on the long run, this will teach us a few important things. To start, I think we will all reevaluate how beautiful it is to travel and to be connected as a world. So things we gave for granted will no longer be such. And I think there is a positive in rediscovering all what we have. And secondly, for our industry, I think it will reignite a sense of sustainability or boost a sense of sustainability. We were talking about labor in the vineyards, right? Seasonal workers. I mean, we tried and stopped when I was still a kid. I remember we had this guy, his name was Joseph. And I recall him because he came 2 years, right? And the first year he was happy and the second year he was sad. And that was enough for us to say it was not the right way. But I think it creates efficiency, but it also creates this imbalance where you're suddenly discovering yourself naked. I think it will also remember everyone that wine is first and foremost a complement to the table, to the people and to the food. It's not an asset you invest on. In this regard, the current situation will remind everyone what wine really is about, which is a point of culture and a point of farming, but meant for our bodies, our souls, our happiness, not for speculations. And I think this will be a positive effect, because when I think of some of the situations that were happening, when you think of speculations on certain wines because of scarcity, or speculation on the price of the land, which was, I'm talking for Barolo, was getting to the point where real farmers could no longer dream of, you know, farming a new vineyard. So I do believe that it will be hard for a moment, but eventually will help us go towards something that is closer to the truth of our work and our product. So I foresee a slowdown. I don't think we are culturally ready for these kind of things. There's a lot of talking about, you know, going back to the old days, but I think everyone is always trying to improve what you do. And it's going to be interesting. But I do believe this concept of sustainability will be key.
This episode is brought to you by 750.com. If you're lucky enough to be ordering wine right now for your restaurant or retail store or bar, it could not be any easier than to do it directly through 750.com. You can build and send orders via your desktop or mobile, and it'll save you time by compiling all of those orders in one place. You know, if I was to be ordering some wine right now, I would look up 750. I might find a biodynamic wine from, I don't know, let's say Lazio. I think I really love the wines from Lazio, so I'm typing in Lazio in. And maybe I want a Cesenese. Just type that into raw materials. And I found all of these great options. I'm going to get the Piero Riccardi Lorella Reale Cesenese from Lazio from Critical Mass Selections. And I found it that easily. In just 5 more seconds, I can get that wine ordered. So place all of your orders via 750.com and make your life easier.
On a personal note, for your own personal wine consumption, I know from drinking wine with you many times that you obviously you're a lover of the wines of your region of Piemonte and Barolo specifically, especially the historic wines. The history of the region, but you're also very curious about many of the other wines from all over the world, including Champagne and Spain and many other places. How has this affected your personal wine consumption? are you just drinking through your cellar, or what have you been doing?
It's quite scary, Joe. I don't recall us going so fast through our own cellar. And in fact, it's quite beautiful as well. It just feels that, you know, you can indulge into that extra glass of wine. But after 3-4 days, I look at the amount of empty bottles that I need to go and trash. And I'm like, oh my God, do we really drink all of these in the two of us? Can I say I have a sort of naughty pleasure in looking at those empty bottles? So, yeah, there's definitely been a bit of a growth of consumption. You know, being able to open those bottles you always kept on the side because you were never in enough time, and you suddenly can even just be home half an hour, sometimes earlier than usual, and pop the cork while I help Sophie, you know, prepping for dinner. And the little pleasures are really there. The last one I had was a Walter Scott Pinot. I don't recall but the vineyard, unfortunately, right now, but yeah, so it really helped, you know, go through some bottles I've bringing back from my trips and that I've been aging for a moment.
Are wine stores open? Are you still able to buy wine, or is it more just going through what you have in your cellar right now?
Yes, wine stores are open, especially, I mean, you cannot go and shop, but they're open for sort of e-commerce and deliveries. Easy has just received a good shipment as of yesterday. But no, personally, I just didn't have really the time yet to go shop online. So I've been really, we're going through the cellar.
It's a good time to drink some things that you've been meaning to drink. And, you know, you've given us a lot of like hopeful messages, things that you hope for the future. I wonder if there's anything that you've seen that you find to be inspiring. Are there any stories from Italy that we don't know about that give you hope, that inform why you are hopeful that we might come together and this could be a positive thing?
I think the one element that really shapes this belief that we have comes from way back in the past and comes from our parents' story. Not many people know. I mean, these are some of the more intimate aspects of our stories that we don't really like to shout out all the time because it really pertains to some moments of suffering and pain. But I think if one moment that is worth sharing this to the world would be right now, COVID times. You know, our life, just like the life of everyone, is full of also the sad moments and the harshness. And these are not the things that people know unless you're in close friendship. But when it comes to our story, I have a few dates and a few moments. And the first one was 1986. It was the year my dad had decided to resign from being a professor of viticulture to focus on the winery. And so pretty much, you know, starting to fly on his own. Our parents had been married for 2 years. It was 1 year old. So, you know, all the elements there for a takeoff of a new step of your life. Long story short, the hailstorm destroyed all of our crop. And hours after the hailstorm had hit, they were meeting with the constructor to build their new little winery, which they decided to sign and go for the works, even if their perspective was of no income. And, you know, and that is an episode, but an episode that triggered a lot of positive for us, because in the days and weeks later, all folks would come and ask our parents, you know, what are you gonna do? And my dad was perhaps naive enough to believe they wanted to ask him a viticulture suggestion. They were actually asking, aren't you leaving? There was no longer a hope. A bit like I see sometimes around with some colleagues today, you lose for a moment your hope. And they would say, no, we stay, we love it. So why don't you take my vineyard? And he was like, guys, I have no harvest. I have no money. You know, I cannot take your vineyard. Long story short, they would find a way. And so the worst moment, the year with no crop, we actually had the chance to start farming more blocks. That is a story. There are others that are even more delicate, you know, that pertain. I can hint it. It was a moment when one person in our family was not feeling good and had some healthy situations, and we had to live through that. But the takeaway point we always got from our parents was that these moments were hard. And when you were in the thick of it, you couldn't see, right, the light. You couldn't see the positive. But then looking in hindsight, they were always a moment of learning. So the first positive they always realized in their life was that the challenge, the harshness, the thing you don't expect, the trouble, the first thing that gifts you is a new knowledge, a learning. You grow because of that. And if you hadn't had that harshness, you would have not grown personally. And that, I think, would be the first and most important takeaway. But subsequently, there's always been a second takeaway, which is that through the challenges, we always had positive learning for what we do. Like up until 86, the dream for Vira was to have all the vineyards around the winery, right? Make it easy. Don't use the tractor too much. It's very comfortable. It's more efficient. No, we had to learn the hard way that in Piemonte, if you have all of your vineyards on the one hill and the hail hits you, you're lost. So we learned that we had to seek for different blocks in different vineyards, in different hills, and spread the risk, right? So it's a personal learning, but then it also translates into becoming better at what we do. And we always had these sort of imprinting from our parents. So when we look at today, that's the first learning or the first element that makes a difference in us waking up the morning is knowing that there must be a positive, even if we don't notice it yet. Then the other elements going to the present that really strikes me is there's so many. For example, I have a friend who's a doctor in ER room, right? And he suffered COVID because of his work. But to see his desire to work with these people when the outbreak started, to see it was not that he wasn't afraid, but to see the sense of responsibility, the sense of care that led him and so many of his colleagues to do what they did, that is amazing. And then even on the social level, what I see is with our neighbors, there is a new level of attention and care one to another, right? So I go home, I drop a couple of bottles to all the neighbors on the weekend. And it's, you know, maybe one bottle per family, but all the sort of closer neighbors get one. And the next day, the old lady that lives close to us comes with the salad. Her husband has grown in the little garden. And of course, we have to keep distances and you cannot hug and kiss and you're sort of with your mask. But you can see the smiles of these little gestures of attention one to another. I think it's a combination of all these elements that make us so positive. And this is really the wish. It's also why we send some messages out on our Instagram. We never put so many messages out as right now, but is about sharing this discovery, because we know it's not a given. We know for many people waking up in the morning is scary. We know there are people who cannot sleep, right? And so we want that this gift that we received through our history doesn't stay for us only. We would like to just do what we received and sort of give that hug, that sense of hope. I couldn't have a hope if I hadn't received one. And we would like to pass that as simply as we are capable of to everyone.
I've been loving those messages, and I see them on Instagram and Facebook, and so appreciate it. And I saw that you guys did a fundraiser actually to help out the hospitality industry. I was wondering if you could talk about that.
Yes, it's something that started in the most simple way. It was just about thinking of all of our friends who currently cannot work. It was as simple as that. And I have to admit, it's one of my and our most recurrent thoughts for so many reasons. We just have so much respect and so much gratitude for the hard work of hospitality, right? When you think of all those people where I just wish I could know more by name, by person, that spend their nights and their weekends to host others, to open their arms, to make them feel welcomed. And then all in a sudden, they're home with a gray sky above, right, in terms of perspectives. And you don't know when you can reopen, and you don't know how it's going to be. So it started just like that, on a very simple level. And then Kevin, who's our, I know he doesn't like me to call him our guardian angel, but technically speaking, he's my right arm in the States. He pointed out about this Restaurant Workers Community Foundation. And we thought we could maybe put our little drop of water in the ocean of need, but do what we could to support, right? And it was days before the Independent Restaurant Coalition was actually founded. So we didn't even know about that. But it was what we felt could, and there were definitely many charities and foundations that were worth. But that one struck us for being about the people. And we decided to go with it. And it's been as simple as that, Joe. There was not much, you know, we're not good at strategizing. So we went for a simple project. It's like two wines, and there's a contribution for each bottle sold during the month of April. We actually are looking to extend this for another couple of months, because when we started, we didn't even know how big the need was, right? And now you start to hear stories of people who have mortgages and who have maybe young families, and that's what we can do. That's what we're happy to do. I mean, I don't think we need many more words about it. But it's Barolo Alba and De Rosabella, and it's very little. I feel humbled. Is nothing, but we're happy to do it.
And we're certainly all grateful in the industry to that you are doing it. So thank you very much. I can't imagine a better wine too, as the weather gets a little bit warmer, than to drink some Rosabella. Thank you, Giuseppe, so much. Your message is definitely giving me some hope.
Grazie, Joe. A big, big hug to you, to everyone, to all the people who have their sad moments. If only we could give you a physical hug, it'd be the strongest we've ever given you. But don't lose the hope. We will come back together, and hopefully we'll be better.
That's it for this episode of In the Drink with Giuseppe Vaira. If you're listening to this episode on the Friday in which it came out, tonight we have a Zoom wine tasting all about pet gnats. I'm going to be doing it with my partner at Lalu, Dave Foss, and you can find information on how to buy tickets. They're just $15. You can find that information on our Lalu Brooklyn Instagram at Lalu Brooklyn, or we'll be posting a link to tickets in the show notes for this episode. I also want to give a big thanks to our extremely talented producer, Jessam and Molly of Seaplane Armada, and a big thanks to our sponsors, Melio and 750. I really appreciate you both believing in this podcast during these challenging times. I want to give you a big thank you for listening. Thanks so much, and stay safe and take care. Today's episode is brought to you by Melio, which is the digital payables platform that's made just for small businesses. And whether you own a restaurant, a wine bar, a retail store, or if you're a distributor, getting on Melio will make your life easier by centralizing all of your payments into one clear platform. One of the things that I love about Melio is that they enable you to pay via credit card across all of your purveyors, even those who don't normally accept it. And one of the things that Melio is doing just to support the restaurant industry during this time is that they are waiving all credit card fees. And I can tell you firsthand as a restaurant operator, being able to pay via credit card and especially having those fees waived during this time when cash flow is really tight is going to make all the difference. So visit gomelio.com and add your first bill to get started.